Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
NASA, like so many federal agencies, runs on software. Whether controlling missions, processing satellite data, or running its human resources and finance divisions. For how NASA is ensuring the software it develops is secure from the outset, I spoke with the Director of Application and Platform Services in NASA's Office of the CIO, Shenandoah Spears. Application and Platform Services, that sounds like two different things mashed together. Tell us about what you do generally.
So it's applications. And those are anywhere from custom-built applications to COTS, commercial off-the-shelf applications like SAP, our financial system, and then platforms. And the platforms are really geared towards low-code application platforms like Salesforce, ServiceNow, Microsoft Power Apps. And so we manage all of that within the OCIO across the enterprise of NASA.
Right. So it sounds like a pretty big portfolio.
Oh, it is a very large portfolio, yes.
And it encompasses both the mission-related applications that control, say, interpretation of imagery data coming down from satellites, and also HR and financial management and all of those regular line-of-business type functions.
Yeah, we do have some mission applications within our group, but the missions themselves also control some other applications. And we definitely have the HR function, the financial functions, procurement functions. We handle all of that application layers for NASA.
And just ballpark estimate, how much software development, how many projects going do you have at a given time in your group?
A lot. I mean, right now we use features and we have over 1,000 features right now. We leverage Agile. And as we break down the workload, we have over 1,000 currently in process right now.
Wow. And just give us a sense of whether the coding, the exact work, is done by contractors, is it done by NASA employees, or some combination of both?
It is a combination of both. Although we do heavily rely on our contract partners, there are some civil servants that are also banging out some code.
And you mentioned low-code platforms and also Agile, two of the trendy types of events going on in software development. Tell us the overall strategy that you have to make sure that you get the software that you want on time, and then we'll get into some of the security pieces there.
Yeah, you know, we've been on a journey to embrace the Agile mindset, and as part of this journey, we have adopted the Scaled Agile Framework for Lean Enterprises, or SAFE, as part of the Software System Development Lifecycle, SDLC. And SAFE has really helped us align our strategy to execution, providing a mechanism to visualize the workload that we have, prioritize that workload in a backlog, understand the capacity of our teams to consume that workload, and then be able to deliver value incrementally. And also provides us a way to get fast feedback from our stakeholders and our business partners through system demos and program increment planning events. So that's kind of how we operate. And, you know, in addition, we've also got and created a DevSecOps pipeline platform that allows us to do on-demand continuous integration, our CI, and continuous deployment CD, utilizing containerization to automate the build, security scanning, and deployment process.
It sounds then as if a lot of the user groups are involved along the way with you throughout the cycle.
Yes, they are. Yes, absolutely.
When you are developing for, say, containerized applications, I'm just curious, is what are the languages people are using? What are the tools you're using right on the job itself to get the code done?
You know, we use multiple languages, but specifically we use you know, Java across the board within that containerization layer. But we also have other things like Python and things like that.
And the big trend now, that's, at least what people are saying, is, you know, how do you move what they say to the left, the assurance of cybersecurity? Let's get into that. what do you do differently now, say, versus 10 years ago, to make sure that cybersecurity is part of what it is you release?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we've kind of shifted our cybersecurity to the left, like you said, right? Where we try to automate the security scanning at the beginning of the software development and allows our software developers to get better understanding of those security vulnerabilities ahead of time. And so we've done that. All of our code and the associated configuration of the code is stored into Git repositories, and they include built-in triggers to build the process, as well as to do static application security testing and an auto deployment of the image into a development environment. And these images, once the developer is ready, these images are then submitted through the deployment phase of the pipeline, and they go through the dynamic application security testing, and that's performed, as well as auto deployment into our staging environment. And then once all that is successful, it then gets deployed to a production environment.
So you test in a static way or make sure that each small module is okay. And then when the modules, that's my word, probably not the best word, but when those are added up into functional pieces of code applications, then it's tested in an integrated state to make sure that the security carried through. Is that a good way to put it?
That's correct. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Absolutely. And we also support human in the loop. So as we go through this pipeline that we've developed, some of our stakeholders still want humans to be in that loop, right? And so we do support human in the loop, as well as the fully automated build and deployment of the pipeline.
Got it. Let's talk about containerization for a minute. What does it mean to develop into a containerized application? Because coders code, a function has to do something, a set of logic rules, basically, and you put this input, that output comes out. Does it then get converted to containers? Or how does that all work?
Well, we are using Kubernetes as our containerization platform. And most of the things that we do, as much as possible, we put into the containerization of this platform. And these images are provided by the OS vendor. On a weekly basis, we get an image from them, and we incorporate that image into our DevSecOps pipeline to do a rebuild and a scan and a redeploy to ensure cybersecurity vulnerabilities are covered. And we use open source security scanning tools to scan those containers and the images that go across that pipeline.
Well, how do containers communicate with one another to form applications? Because there's an interface there, so somebody's programming an application programming interface, correct? So that the containers actually do something when they're combined.
Yeah, we definitely use those the Red Hat stack to help with that containerization and the communication between those containers.
And you mentioned open source as the way that you get the scanning tools. Is it naive to say that you have to make sure that the scanning tools, because they are open source, are themselves secure and not maybe introducing something?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that supply chain of the open source. One good thing about open source is typically it is very secured, right? Because you've got multiple people reviewing it and looking at it. And so we do utilize that open source, and we ensure that the open source is secured itself. So yeah, well, we are definitely doing that.
And we're getting a pretty good primer in software development contemporarily from you. So I'm going to ask another question that probably sounds kind of basic. But containers are that way because they can be reused in different end applications because each container has a particular service associated with it. So there's a lot of reuse that goes on for things that are just basic or common to many, many different applications. Fair to say?
Yeah. I mean, the great thing about containers is, you know, the infrastructure where it resides, whether it's on-prem or off-prem on a cloud environment, moving the container allows us to take that container and move it anywhere we want.
And in the scanning, I want to go back to that for a moment. What is the output of scanning if there's a vulnerability in a particular container or a block of code? How do you know that?
Yeah, we have a dashboard that we use that does a reporting for us. And in that dashboard, we then create anything that comes from those vulnerabilities of that scanning. We create POAMs, which is a plan of action and milestones or RBDs, which is risk-based decisions. And so as we look through the scanning results and we compare them to our Rev 5 controls, which we use NIST Rev 5 controls, we capture anything that we need to correct through these POEMs, or if we are unable to correct it, we will capture a risk-based decision to say, hey, we understand the risk. We're going to make a decision whether or not we allow that risk or not.
Right. So is there some kind of reference or a database somewhere of vulnerabilities that the scanning is comparing to, or because there's this issue of zero-day vulnerabilities or things that nobody's thought of that could happen by virtue of the way you combine the containers or do the coding leading to them?
Yeah, correct. We do use, like I said, the NIST Rev 5 controls and all the vulnerabilities that are listed from the vendor as well as from the government that we have a list of.
Doa Spears, Director of Application and Platform Services in NASA's Office of the CIO. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver open source and cloud native software solutions designed to address the unique security and operational needs of the U.S. government and military. Whether it's in the cloud, on-prem, or at the edge, Rancher Government Solutions offers the leading software stack for teams adopting containers, addressing the challenges of managing multiple Kubernetes clusters at scale while providing DevOps teams with integrated tools for running containerized workloads. Learn more at ranchergovernment.com.
Welcome back to our interview with Doa Spears, Director of Application and Platform Services in NASA's Office of the CIO. Our topic is cybersecurity and how to move it leftward in the software development cycle. Now, a lot of cybersecurity, you know, in the past has concentrated on network and network access. Does that come into your thinking at all when you're deploying the software, or is that somewhere else in NASA that has to worry about that?
No, yeah, absolutely. We work very closely with our network, and they provide network segmentation of our environment. And they have scanning tools as well within the network that they're consistently using. We are working with them to embrace the zero trust concept and the methodology of zero trust. So our Kubernetes containerization is segregated on the network. We rely and work closely with that network team to help ensure that our security is at the best it can be.
Right. And then I imagine at runtime, then you have a network operating center. There's probably several of them throughout NASA, security yes. operations centers. They follow up with continuous monitoring of the software that you have scanned and put together, scanned as put together, then deployed. But that's not the end of the cybersecurity ongoing work?
No, yeah, absolutely not. We have a NOCA Network Operations Center as well as a SOC SOC Security Operations Center that we work closely with. And these scans are constantly being reviewed, and we have active scans that are running at all times.
Sure. And what are some of the highlights of the top projects you're working on now, modernizing, say, this or that?
We talked a little bit earlier about the low-code application platforms, right? So that's kind of where we're moving towards to see, hey, in addition to these this DevSecOps pipeline of containerization, we want to leverage these low-code application platforms and enable kind of what they call citizen development, where we allow others outside of the OCIO to actually develop an application within this platforms. Ensuring that these platforms have the layer of security that they need. And so that's one of the initiatives that we're really focused on right now. We're also focused on ensuring that we can take our DevSecOps pipeline that we have and push it out to the other cloud vendors, such as Amazon, which we already are with them, but some of the other cloud vendors, Azure, promote it, right, to allow others within the NASA community to say, hey, we have this pipeline that you can come and you can automate through the stages like dev, test, and production. Take their code, take their application, and automate it through that, through a, you know, continuous integration and continuous deployment.
So basically, you want to be cloud agnostic to the extent possible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And can the cloud environments themselves affect the cyber of what it is you run there? Do you have to worry about the differences between Microsoft and Google and all the other clouds, Amazon?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're residing on their infrastructure, right, we are definitely worried about their infrastructure, and therefore all of the cloud environments we use are FedRAMP certified. So they go through the FedRAMP process to ensure that they meet all the security controls for the federal government. And so we leverage the FedRAMP environment when we do utilize the cloud infrastructure.
All right. And tell us about the human capital side of your development work. You must need different kinds of coders, different types of developers, different ways of thinking than perhaps software shops did, you know, a few years back.
Yeah, I mean, software development and IT in general, the landscape of IT has changed pretty dramatically over the last, I'd say, 10 years, right? But the concept of agile and the concept of, hey, you don't have to have all the requirements up front. Let's build incrementally. Let's work with the stakeholder. Let's work with the customer, bring them into the actual solution delivery of what we're trying to deliver. And so the skill sets of a software developer has kind of expanded. It's no longer just, hey, I'm going to develop software. It's also, hey, I've got to develop software as well as ensure that that security layer is embedded into the very beginning, from the design of the software through the coding of the software, through the testing of the software, and eventually to the deployment of it. So software developers, you know, they're no longer kind of on this island. They are really really focused on, okay, security is part of and embedded into my DNA as a software developer.
And for those that are using as citizen developers the low code platforms, then you rely on the platforms to provide the security throughout all those steps.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the low code platform is pretty enticing, is that you set the security layer at the platform layer, and these citizen developers, you know, they know their business, they know their data, they just don't know how to program. And so if you can build an environment where they can drag and drop and do some no code slash low code application, they don't necessarily need to invoke a highly paid technical person to do the work. So it will allow us to deliver value faster to the business.
By the way, is it better to say, or more accurate to say, low coding? Because it still results in code, only someone else, the machine does the coding.
Exactly. Behind the scenes, as you're dragging and dropping the coding, the code is being created.
Sure, because a processor still needs code to run ultimately, whether it's from a low code ingot platform or just hand coding. I just wanted to clarify that one. And the low code, can that also be used to overlay, say, if you want to modernize an application because you want to run it in a containerized fashion and it was programmed 20 years ago in C or something, is the low code a way to preserve the logic but convert it to the containerized types of pipeline that you want in the shop?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a possibility to do that. Our low code platforms are using, you know, they're not necessarily using containerization. They're using a cloud environment that the vendor provides. However, we do have a lot of legacy applications that we are converting, whether we're converting it to a low-code environment or we're converting it to the DevSecOps pipeline. There are ways to take something like Code Fusion, for example, some of the older technology, and convert it to Java or some of the newer, although Java's pretty old, but convert it into a containerized environment where it can be ran on any infrastructure. And so we definitely have that going on. We do have quite a bit. I mean, NASA's been around for a long time, right? So we do have quite a bit legacy code on older platforms. And we are in that process of doing what they call application rationalization, right? Where you rationalize these applications and do take care of the technical debt within that. And one of that is these containerizations to be able to convert it to run on these platforms.
But the main thing then is to be able to deal with the unique scanning and cybersecurity look at implications of containers versus standard code in the old-fashioned way.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the benefits of converting it to use the DevSecOps pipeline is you have the built-in security scanning tools from the very beginning. And so as we convert it, it's automatically going to start scanning for any security vulnerabilities and allow a report or whatever to come to the developer or the person that's doing the migration or the conversion, if you will, and we can take action on that. Where today, a lot of the maybe a lot of the code that we have out there that's kind of older, we still have scanning tools on it, but it's more reactive than proactive, right? Where the DevSecOps pipeline is more of this proactive, constant scanning.
The idea then is, as you mentioned before, I think you said it, is it's conceived secure. It's designed and conceived and coded secure
Right.
before you get to the point that let's check this application before we runtime it, before we compile it.
Absolutely right.
And you said you have a really great team going. Here's a chance to tell them what you think.
Yeah, definitely. We have an amazing team, and I'd love to give a shout out and a thank you to them for helping us bring the DevSecOps pipeline environment to life. Thanks to Peter Cowles, Ron Newby, Dave Keldorf, Colin Estes, Kyle Driver, Paul Shoemaker, Marshall Cortell, and the whole team for all the hard work to make this a reality. As you can see, that there's a lot of people behind the scenes making this happen. So I really appreciate all the work they've done to help secure NASA. Thank you guys so much.
Shenandoah Spears, Director of Application and Platform Services in the Office of the CIO at NASA. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Rancher Government Solutions on Federal News Network.
When security, speed, and scale are essential to your mission success, you need a partner who can deliver open source and cloud-native software solutions designed to address the unique security and operational needs of the U.S. government and military. Whether it's in the cloud, on-prem, or at the edge, Rancher Government Solutions offers the leading software stack for teams adopting containers, addressing the challenges of managing multiple Kubernetes clusters at scale while providing DevOps teams with integrated tools for running containerized workloads. Learn more at ranchergovernment.com.
Hi, I'm Mike Richmond of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs with this message for veterans. Did you serve in the military? Veterans should take note of a new life insurance program called VA Life. The program provides guaranteed acceptance of whole life insurance coverage to veterans 80 and under, with any level of service-connected disability. Some veterans 81 and older may also be eligible. Guaranteed acceptance is a whole life policy that doesn't require a medical exam or ask health questions. It also doesn't have a limited 2-year window to sign up. Whole life insurance provides coverage for the life of the policyholder, provided that premiums are always paid. Premium rates are locked in for the life of the policy. For more information, go to benefits.va.gov/insurance. I'm Mike Richmond.
The YMCA is just a starting line, for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Y is the before work hustle, an after school home, a section of my block, a corner to call my own. With my Y, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror, and everyone belongs. Find your why. Join today at ymca.org for a better us.